Om Ajnanathimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurundilitam Dena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadah Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam, Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha, Sri Rupam Sagrajatam, Sahagana Raghunathanvitam, Tam Sajivam, Sadvaitam Sadvadhutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanditamscha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Shri Shri Navadvipa Para Pradipa Sandipa Yama Satato Bhuvya Chetastamo Hanti Nayasya Yatnat Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Prachodita Shri Vasadya Kosham Kushalam Kripalu Sanblecha Vagdesha Chayeda Dasyas Tankirtayama Prabhupada Devam Achadyate Yat Paratarka Drishya Govinda Murtyujvala Bhaskarena Adwaiti Kadyota Kulam Jagatyam Tankirtamayama Prabhupada Devam Yasyaiva Yatnena Purana Raja Gangamala Keshava Keli Hamsa Satotra Ratna Vihatiha Loke Tamkirtayama Prabhupada Devam Shri Radhika Krishna Pratada Vinde Sahasa Hritsu Shatamandareshu Aropayad Yo Madure Prativyam Tamkirtayama Prabhupada Devam Kaushala Dhyar Yasya Sahasra Shastra Sastrati Varshai Pratiyanti Yatehi Chanda Kalir Moha Chavur Hatena Kam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nana Lasad Gora Sudha Prakasha Hula Shitao Stapita Eva Yena Krishna Nuchinta Jana Sangha Drishas Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Yo Nityada Jivati Daivikeshu Nijasu Shikshasu Tu Sanugami Kripambudhir Nanda Shuta Shritatma Tam Kirtayama Prabhupada Devam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Tinamine Shri Barshabana Videvi Daitaya Kripabdaye Krishna Sambandha Vijnana Dayane Prabhave Namaha Madhuryo Jvala Premadya Sri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Virudhapa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine Namo Gaura Kishoraya Sakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambu Jayate Namaha Namo Bhakti Vinodaya Sakchidananda Namine Gaura Shakti Swarupaya Rupanuga Varayate Gaura Virbhava Bhomestvam Nirdesasa Jana Priyaha Vaishnava Sarva Bhoma Shri Jagannathayate Namaha Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyevacha atitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha namo mahavaranyaya krishna prema pradayate krishnaya krishna chaitanya namne gaura tvishe namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Jayatam Suratau Pangor Mamamanda Matirgati Matsarvaswapadambo Jau Radha Manana Mohana Divyadrindaranya Kalpadrumata Srimad Ratnakara Singha Sanastau Srimad Radha Srila Govinda Devau Vishtali Bi Sevyamano Smarami Srimandra Sarasarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha Karshan Venu Swaner Gopir Gopinata Shriestunaha Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devdi Pranamami Hari Priye Vrindaye Tulsidevyai Priyayai Keshavasicha Vishnu Bhakti Prade Devi Satyavatyai Namo Namaha Shri Nishinga Jai Nishinga Jai Jai Nishinga Prahalad Desha Jaya Padma Mukha Padma Bringa Matsamo Nasti Papatma Naparadi Chakashchana Parihare Pilajjame Kimbruve Purushottama Yuvatinam Yata Yuni Yunam Cha Yuvatau Yata Mano Biramate Tadvan Mano Me Ramatam Twayi Bhumau Skalita Paranam Bhumireva Valambanam Twayi Jata Paradhanam Twameva Sharanam Prabho Govinda Balabe Radhe Prartaye Twamaham Sada Twadiyam Iti Janatu Govindo Mam Twayasaha Radhe Vrindavanadi She Karunamrita Vahani Kripayani Japadabja Dasyam Mayam Pradiyatam Vande Nanda Vrajastrinam Padarenam Abhikshnashaha Yasam Hari Kato Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam Namashrestam Manamapi Shachiputram Matra Swarupam Shri Rupam Tasya Gajamaruparim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramoho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasa Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi Aradhana Shtradam Danter Lidam Jache Puna Punaha Srimad Rupa Padamboja Rajoham Syam Bhave Bhave Antaya Madhur Abala Haridasavaryo Yadrama Krishna Charanasparasha Pramodaha Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayos Tayo Yat Paniya Suya Vasakandana Kandamulai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Next prayer is Prayers of Queen Kunti. O Krishna, as the river Ganges forever flows to the sea, let my mind being constantly be constantly drawn to thee. O most gentle, O original personality, master of the senses, seated in the hearts of all that be, existing both within and without, seeing all but seeing none, unto you I offer all my respects. It's just after the Mangalacharna. O Krishna, O soul of the universe, beyond the range of our perception, covered by the curtain of misconception, we are bewildered by your movements. Though you work, you are inactive. Though you take birth, you are unborn. And though you descend amongst men, sages, animals, and aquatics, you are the transcendent reality. And although you are unknown, above all that be, you reveal yourself to the surrendered souls who worship you in the core of their hearts. Unto you I offer all my respects. O Krishna, O eternal master and friend, once when you were a small child, your mother Yashoda took a rope to bind you. Your perturbed eyes filled with tears, and though fear personified is afraid of you, at that moment you were afraid. How can I understand these things? O my Lord, I offer all to you. O Lord, whose glance is as cool as a lotus, who protected us from a great fire, from a poisoned cake, from cannibals, from the vicious assembly of the Kurus, from suffering in exile, from a fierce battle and from a devastating weapon, You befriended us and stayed with us and guided us through all tribulations. I offer myself and whatever I have unto you. O my Lord, your loving kindness and mercy often come clothed in strange guises, enveloped in a shroud of tribulation. Yet our journey through life is made easy by these hardships you provide. O Lord, let us not falsely claim that this world is our home. Let us not ever forget that this place is full of danger. But let the calamities come again and again, that we may remember you and meet with you again and again. For remembering you, we no longer meet with repeated birth and death. O Krishna, those who always hear your glories, who always repeat your glories, who always see you in all things, and who always take pleasure in your pastimes, certainly find shelter at your lotus feet. My Lord, you can be easily approached, but only by those who are exhausted by sensual pleasure, unimpressed with opulence, unimpressed with fame and wealth, with prestigious birth, with scholarship. Only by those who are finished with idle talk, finished with mundane beauty, finished with all forms of religiosity. My Lord, I am not afraid to be abandoned by luck or good fortune, by friends or relatives. I am not afraid to be handled roughly. I am not afraid to wander the streets homeless like a beggar. I am not afraid to be cast away, condemned, quarantined, or exiled. O most gentle, most holy, most merciful Master, help me, prepare me, do whatever is necessary to render fit this unworthy soul for entrance into your eternal abode. We've had that in there for a long time, and I think we've only read it a couple times. It's really nice, isn't it? The digest of Queen Kunti's prayers. What else do we have in here? No, he didn't. A devotee in New Vrindavan wrote it. And it's at the where you can find it, where it was narrated for the first time, it was at the beginning of the Chaitanya Bhagavat recording that was done by Damodar. And there's a famous piano piece behind it. It's a real tearjerker. Huh? Yeah, we played it. We should play it regularly. It's really nice, isn't it? Well, there you go. See, we'll make it into a little... This will be your introductory book. A two-page introductory book. Here's another prayer. Prayer night, I forgot to tell everybody. Okay, this is on the orange tab in your book. Now, this one is poeticized by Dravida, although it's not written by him. Madaram madarebhyo pi mangalebhyo pi mangalam pavanam pavanebhyo pi harinama eva kevalam. Of sweet things is the sweetest you will taste at any time. You can read together. Of things that bring good fortune, it's good fortune's paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Abrahma stamba pariyantam sarvam maya mayam jagat satyam satyam punas satyam harinam eva kevalam. From Brahma's realm atop the sky down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in Maya Devi's treacherous morass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Sri Hari, the holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Saguru sapita chapi samata bandavopi saha sikshayach chit sada smartum harinama eva kevalam. He's the guru, he's the father, he's the friend most true, and she is the real mother who most kindly teaches you to always chant and hear the holy name of Sri Hari. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Nishvase nahi vishvasa kadaruto bhavishyati kirtaniya mato bhalyad harinama eva kevalam. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old and sick or in our youthful prime. So young and old alike should chant the name incessantly. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Hari sada vaset tatra yatrad bhagavata janaha Gayanti bhakti bhavina harinama eva kevalam. Lord Sri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees, whose hearts are fixed on him and free of all impurities, uplift their voices high and sing his name in ecstasy. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Ahotukam mahatukam dukad dukataram yataha Kacchartam vishmitam ratna harinam eva kevalam. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, the worst calamity, for people to forget the holy name of Sri Hari, although the name's a priceless gem, merely broken glass they see. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Diyatam diyatam karno, niyatam niyatam vachaha, giyatam giyatam nityam harinam eva kevalam. Just fill your ears, just fill with them with the name of Sri Hari. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name, just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Trini kritya jagat sarvam rajate sakalopari chirananda mayam shudham harinam eva kevalam. It makes this world appear like bits of straw upon the ground. It splendorously reigns supreme, divinity and sound. It's filled with transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Sri Hari, a certain sage composed this hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who read this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Sri Hari in ecstasy. Go premanande aribo. Can you use the mic, please? By special request of... So Ramananda Sakaprabhu is about to ask a question.
Yes, regarding this last sentence, I pray that those who read this lowly version made by me, this me is referring to the one who translated the verses into English or the original Sanskrit, or
no.
Who wrote the original Sanskrit
version?
Yeah,
it refers to Dravida, because he's the one who poeticized this.
Including the Sanskrit also?
No.
Just
what he means by this version made by me means this poeticized version made by me.
Okay.
He put in that last verse.
Okay. Okay. So the Sanskrit is some original. It's not changed.
Yeah, the Sanskrit is the original, and that's an anonymous contribution. We don't know who wrote it, but it's been around for a while. It's in a lot of old shloka books that you find in the Gaudiya tradition. Harinam Ashtakam, the Kevala Ashtakam, Harinam Kevala Ashtakam. Okay, now we're on the songbook, page number 21. Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Paro Premamritambo Nidhi Dira Dira Jana Priyo Priyakaro Nirmatsaro Pujito Sri Chaitanya Kripa Barao Bhuvi Bhuvo Paravahantarako Vande Rupa Sanatano Raguya Goshi Jiva Gopalako Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarino Tribhuvane Manyo Sharanyakaro Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajananandena Mataliko Vande Rupasana. You got to stop at that point. Jiva Gopal. See, there's two things in this song. That at the end, Vande Rupa, so at the end of the third line, Radha Krishna Padaravinda Bhajana Nandina Mataliko Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago. You know why we pause there? If you're playing cartels, it gives you time to turn the page without missing a beat. So don't like do the pause and then start again and then turn the page, because then you ruin the effect. Okay? Let's do that one again so you can practice. We're on page 21. Here we go. Kartalis. Nana shastra vichara naika nipuno sadharma samstapako. Nice and slow. Loka nam hitakarino tribhuvane manyo sharanyakaro. Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Nandena Mataliko Vande turn Sanatana Raghuya Goshi Jiva Gopalako Shigoranga Gunarna Varna Navidao Shraddha Sambridyan slower Papo tapa nrikrinta nauta nubritam govinda ganam ritai Anandam buddhivarda naika nipuno kaivalya nishtarako Vande rupa sanatano raguya go shijiva gopalako Tyakva turnam shesha mandalapati srinim sadatu chava Bhutva dina ganesha ko karunaya gopina kanta shrito Gopi bhavara samrita bilahari kalola magno maho Vande rupa sanatano raguya goshi jiva gopalako Kujat kokila hamsa sara sagana kirne mayura kile Nana ratna nibadha mula vitapa shri yukta vrindavane Radha Krishna Maharnisham Prabhajato Jivartado Yomuda Vande Rupa Sanatano Raguya Goshi Jiva Gopalago Sankhya Purvaka Nama Gananati Vikalavasani Krito Nidrahara Vihara Kari Vijato Chatyanta dinau chaya Radha Krishna guna smriter madhuri manandena samohito Vande rupa sanatano raguya go shijiva gopalako Radha kunda tate kalinda tanaya Tire chavam shivate Premon madhava shara sheshadasaya Grastau pramatau sadam Gayanto chakadaharir gunavaram bhavadibhuto muda Vande rupa sanatano raguya goshi jiva gopalako He Radhe Raja Devi Ke Chalalite He Nanda Sunokutaha Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale Kalindi Vanye Kutaha Goshantaviti Sarvato Vrajapure He Der Mahavivalo Vande rupa sanatano raguya goshi jiva gopalako Vande rupa sanatano raguya goshi jiva gopalako Go premanande adi adi bo. The last verse is, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who chanted very loudly everywhere in Vrindavan, shouting, O Queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, O Lalita, O son of Nanda Maharaj, where are you all now? Are you just on the hill of Govardhan, or are you under the trees on the bank of the Jamuna? Where are you? These are their moods in executing Krishna consciousness. Jamuna is flooding now. The Jamuna has come all the way up to the Goshal. Prem Kishore's house is underwater. No, not. It hasn't been this high, I think, in 40 years or something like that. And if you look at Keshigat too, you know how far down it usually looks. You know the little place where you worship Jamuna when you're going around? The water's all the way up to there. Yeah. Everyone who built on the other side of the Parikram path across from the Goshal is pretty much underwater right now. It rained so much. But it stopped raining. I talked to Bhuvaneshwar yesterday. He said the rain has stopped, so that Jamuna will go down really quickly.
So is Keshigat actually underwater too?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's really high up there, but the water's so high, it's right up to where you walk along the...
So that tunnel's
underwater? The tunnel's underwater. Yeah. Jamuna. And... So the devotees following the footsteps of the Lord Chaitanya, they don't claim that they've seen Krishna. They're seeing Krishna, but they're always feeling this separation from Krishna. They're looking for Krishna always. This is the emotion of the devotees, that they're always in this mood of searching for him. And all over Vrindavan, there's the stimuli that remind the devotees of Krishna. This is udipana. It's things that we see or hear that awaken our love for Krishna. So our process of sadhana bhakti isn't exactly about just following rules and regulations, but we're actually following rules and regulations, but they keep us in touch with all of these devotional stimuli that awaken that love for God that's already naturally there within the heart. Srila Prabhupada compared it to pushing a car when it goes out of, when it stalls, and then a few big people come out and push the car, and you pop the clutch, and then the car starts. So he said, Gyan and karma, they can help us a little bit by pushing, but the energy has to come, he said. That natural energy that's there in the car when you pop the clutch and it comes back. That when that energy comes, there's no need for the rules and regulations, all the sadhana and all. It's only meant, there is no real practice, Prabhupada says in the Nectar Devotion, actually, because it's already innate. It's there within and needs to come out. And there's no stereotype, actually, because there's all kinds of ways to remember Krishna. And Rupa Goswami says, yena tena prakarena, that one should, one way or another, fix one's mind upon Krishna. One way or another. And of course, even the demons are mentioned that they're fixing their minds on Krishna. Not favorably. We want Krishna Anushilanam, favorably thinking of Krishna. But this system is the system that we're following the footsteps of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, is that they're in this mood of separation from Krishna. And everywhere in Vrindavan, they're looking for him. And in that separation, there's actually union, paradoxical. So the land of Vrindavan is, Gokula Vrindavan, is non-different from Krishna's abode. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Taniya Taddhama Vrindavana. This is stated in the Manjusha, Vaishnava Manjusha, that says that the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion is that Krishna and his dham are non-different. Aradhya Bhagavan Vrajesha Taniyas Taddhama Vrindavana Ramya Kachirupasana Vrajavidu Vargena Valkalpita. And he said that then the method of worshipping Krishna, which is the highest, was that which was conceived of by the gopis of Vrindavan. They didn't consider any kind of... They had no consideration about their own welfare or being. Prabhupada gives the story, which you've probably seen or heard, if on Janmashtami they did this play, the kids did a play, about how Krishna had a headache and all the doctors came and they couldn't cure him. So finally Narada Muni came and said, well, how can we cure your headache? And Krishna said, there's only one medicine that I can take that will cure my headache, and that's the dust from the feet of my devotees. And so Narada said, well, who will give their dust, the dust from their feet, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? They'll go to hell for that offense. And he said, go try, you know, because I have a headache. So Narada went out and he asked some of the devotees, and they said, we can't do that. And Narada kept coming back to Krishna and saying, the devotees won't give. And he said, go to Vrindavan and ask the gopis. And we went there and asked the gopis that we need dust from your feet. What for? Krishna has a headache. Oh, sure, we'll take it right away. But it's an offense. Everyone else refuses. We don't care. If Krishna has a headache, we can go to hell. It doesn't matter. This is the mood of there's no consideration. Whereas Prabhupada contrasted that with Yudhishthira on the battlefield of Kukshetra when it was needed. Yudhishthira never told a lie in his whole life. And then during the battle, when they needed to defeat Dronacharya, because he was undefeatable otherwise, they needed him to be in an off-balance position. So the only way that could be done was to, if he knew that his son, Ashwatthama, had been killed in the battle, then he would become so dejected and morose he would give up, and he would be defeatable, he'd be vulnerable on the battlefield. But Ashwatthama wasn't killed. So Krishna said to Yudhishthira, tell him that Ashwatthama's been killed. And Yudhishthira hesitated. He said, but I've never told a lie. How can I tell a lie? And so Prabhupada contrasts this with the mood of the gopis. They didn't consider. It's spontaneous. Whatever Krishna wants, they just do it. There's no consideration about keeping their particular social status either. They run off into the night to meet with Krishna. Even Rukmini, when she prepared to meet Krishna, did so in such a way that he would kidnap her, which is actually a bona fide kind of wedding, if you want to keep that in mind. It's a Gandharva marriage. You don't have to do all this other stuff, ride up on a horse. You could ride in on a horse and just grab your bride and put her on and ride off, and then you consider, Kshatriyas do that all the time. But she arranged for that. So that Krishna would do that in that context. But the gopis, they didn't consider anything. When they heard Krishna's flute, they ran away. And Rupa Goswami gives a verse about how one friend is telling another in Vrindavan, don't go to Keshi Ghat. Because if you go there and you see Krishna in the moonlight playing on his flute, then you'll give up all other considerations. Your life will be ruined if you go there. In the end of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Antya Lila, there's a section about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his ecstasies. When he spent 24 years in Jagannath Puri, he lived in a very small room, actually. It was called the Gambira. Have you seen it? Gambira? Gambira is about 8 by 8 feet, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was over 7 feet tall. That's a pretty small room for him. He used to live in that room at night. And he was in such ecstasy, they locked the doors. And he was in such ecstasy that he would try to get out to go meet Krishna because he was feeling this intense separation. So he would rub his face against the walls all night long, and he would make a sound, gong, 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 gong. And in ecstasy, he didn't know what he was doing. And in the nighttime, Sarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy heard these noises coming from there. So they went with their light to see what was happening, and Mahaprabhu's face had become bloodied from grinding and against the wall. And so they were so upset that from then on they asked Shankar Pandit to sleep in the Gambira room with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so that he wouldn't do that. Shankar Pandit became known as the pillow of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because at night he would sit in there and Mahaprabhu would rest his lotus feet on Shankar Pandit and would sleep that way. And that way Shankar Pandit would make sure that Mahaprabhu didn't injure himself. But before that, actually, the doors were locked, the windows were locked. You can see that little room, the Gambira. You can still go and see that room. And there's no way out when it's locked, but Mahaprabhu used to get out anyway. And then one time they found him in the sea. Actually, they looked everywhere. And the devotees, they didn't know at any time Mahaprabhu can leave, because he's the independent Supreme Personality of Godhead. Many times during his pastimes, he threatened to leave. Even when they told him that they want him to meet Maharaj Pratyaparudra, he said, if you tell me this again, I'll just leave. And there were other instances too, when Mahaprabhu threatened, if you keep telling me this. When Ramachandra Puri came, who was his Ramachandra Puri was a godbrother of Ishvara Puri, and of Ishvara Puri, disciple of Madhavendra Puri, and so therefore the etiquette is that the Mahaprabhu showed him all respect, respected him just like his spiritual master. The godbrother of the spiritual master is also respected like the spiritual master. And so when Ramachandra Puri came, he was very critical, and he used to always try to find fault with Vaishnavas everywhere he went. That was his business in life, was to find fault. So then he came and found fault with Mahaprabhu. So he couldn't find anything wrong, because Mahaprabhu's sadhana was impeccable. But then one day he came to the room where Mahaprabhu was, and he saw some ants walking around. Now, come on, India, ants, they're everywhere. Here, there, and everywhere they crawl. But he saw the ants and he said, "Aha! This sannyasi's been eating sweets. Otherwise, why are all these ants walking around in the room here? Therefore, I know he's been eating sweets." So he began to criticize. And then he also came and he would see how much Mahaprabhu was eating. And then he'd criticize. In fact, he would personally bring him lots of prasadam. This was his technique. He would bring large quantities of prasadam from the temple, and then he'd induce somebody to eat more and more and more and more and more, just like Hansapriya's father does if you ever go eat. He can make you eat more than anybody. I almost died once because I ate so much in Vrindavan because her father fed me so much. But then, of course, he didn't criticize after he gave me 50 rupees and sent me home. But Ramachandra Puri, he would make somebody eat and eat and eat, and afterwards he would say, "I heard that he was an overeater. I knew you couldn't control your senses." And he would criticize like that. His heart was so twisted. So he did that with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, Mahaprabhu, rather than complaining, he cut in half what he was eating. And all the devotees became very disturbed that he was eating only half of what he was normally eating. And they came to him and said, "This Ramachandra Puri, why listen to him?" And Mahaprabhu said, "Why are you criticizing? He's only observing the rules and regulations for what a sannyasi is supposed to do and eat." And when they criticized like that, Mahaprabhu said, "Then I'll go away. I'll go somewhere else if you continue this." So Mahaprabhu, he could go away at any time. They didn't know. And he got out of the room at night, the Gambira, one time, and in his ecstasy, when he was walking by the ocean, he thought it was the Jamuna. Whenever he saw a body of water, he would think of the Jamuna, and he would jump in. So several times, when he was traveling with his servant in Vrindavan, he almost drowned, and Krishnadas had to pull him out of the water. It was a very fearful situation. And so he was by himself, wandering in ecstasy at night, and he saw the ocean, and he thought the Jamuna, so he jumped in, and he floated on that ocean in ecstasy for hours and hours and hours. And then when the devotees came looking for him in the Gambira, he was gone. They looked in all the other places where they used to find him. He was not there. And they were very morose. They were crying. They were thinking maybe he had wound up his pastimes. He had left them behind. And then as they were walking down the beach, in this great anxiety, they saw a fisherman coming up the beach. And the fisherman was agitated, and he was acting like a crazy person. And when they met him, he said, don't go back there. There's a ghost, there's a ghost, there's a ghost. And they said, "Where's the ghost? Where did you see this ghost?" He said, "I was fishing." And he's a fishing. I fish at night. And while I'm out fishing, I'm using my nets, and I always chant the Nisringa mantra to protect me from ghosts. Brahma Rakshasa Ghost. And then this time I caught what I thought was a gigantic fish, and I pulled it in, and then when I touched the body of this fish, it turned out that it wasn't a fish, it was some ghost. And the ghost of that entered within my body, and then I became mad. And of course he was in ecstasy because he had touched the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was feeling this kind of madness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had passed on to him. And Sarup Damodar could understand what had happened. And therefore he said, "I am a great exorcist, and I know how to exorcise ghosts from your body." And he slapped him across the face, and he said, "There, now the ghost is gone. Now tell me, where is this body that you found?" He said, "It's not a ghost, it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's gone in ecstasy, he's fallen in the ocean. That's who you caught in your net." He said, No, The fisherman said, "It's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I've seen him before. This is someone different." And Swarup Damodar said, "No, no, his body changes when he goes into these ecstatic states. Take us to him." So they went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they revived him by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra into his ear. And when he came back to consciousness, he recounted how he had been observing a beautiful pastime between Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and he was disturbed at being brought back to his external senses. But this was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of madness. And in the poetry in the Antyalila, it's described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is speaking, and he says that my mind has become like a Kapalika yogi, a kind of Kapalika yogi who wanders about just with a piece of torn cloth and doesn't care for his body. He wears an ivory earring in his ear as a sign of complete renunciation from the world and just wanders everywhere. So my mind, he said, it's taken its disciples, the senses, with him, this Kapalika yogi, and he's abandoned the body and gone off. So he said his mind was so taken towards Vrindavan and Krishna that it had gone off like a Kapalika yogi, taking all his disciples with him, just wandering, trying to see Krishna. This is the mood of separation, the kind of madness that comes in from this process of Krishna consciousness. So people are right when they say, you know, you're some wild cult, madness. Because actually, even the gopis, when they glorified the flute of Krishna, indirectly they were criticizing the flute because Krishna was playing in his bamboo flute, and they were saying that this flute, actually, it's from the male species, and now you're kissing the lips, you're touching the lips of another male. What's with you? And then they were saying things in madness also that actually your parents, the reeds and trees on the bank of the river, they must be very proud of you, that you've come to this exalted position, that somehow or other now you're touching the lips of Krishna, enjoying the nectar, which is meant for us. It's meant for us gopis. We're his lovers, but you, the flute, you're enjoying the nectar of his lips. And they were talking about how the sound of the flute induces one into this mad cult of following Krishna, because the gopis can't help themselves. They try to forget Krishna, actually. When Uddhava came to Vrindavan with a note for the gopis, he was sent there by Krishna, because Uddhava was on the top level of devotional service outside of Vrindavan. And Krishna sent him to Vrindavan with a note. Krishna had been gone from Vrindavan for a long time, and he was living in Dwarka. And there, the gopis, they were counting every day. He said he would be back on Tuesday. And so they counted 3 days, 3 days, three more days he would be back. And years went by. And they were all drying up. Practically, it says in the Nectar Devotion, they never slept because tears were constantly coming from their eyes. And you can't sleep when your face is wet like that. So this was the condition of this intense separation from Krishna. And so Krishna wanted Uddhava to see this mood of the gopis. So he sent him to Vrindavan with a note so that they could read this note. He could read the note to them, but actually it was so that Uddhava himself could learn the topmost Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavidu Vargina Vokulpita, this mood of the gopis and Radharani for worshipping Krishna. It's the highest mood as brought out here by Srinivasacharya and glorifying the six Goswamis, this feeling of separation, searching everywhere for Krishna. The gopis, when Krishna left the Rasa dance, they went to all the plants in the whole forest and they were asking all the plants, "Have you seen Krishna? Have you seen Krishna?" And then they'd meet some plants, they'd say, "Well, you're from the male species, you wouldn't tell us anyway. Let's go ask the creepers. The creepers are female. They'll help us out. They're with us." And they'd ask the creepers, and then they'd see that there was honey coming down from them. They'd say, "You see, you're crying too. You're also feeling separation." Jalpo pratijalpo. It's a kind of speaking in madness. When Radharani was standing, Uddhava was watching, and a bumblebee came flying near her. And then she began to chastise the bumblebee and say, "You're an unreliable servant of an unreliable master." She was saying that this bumblebee was a servant of Krishna, was a messenger from Krishna, coming to talk to her. And so she was in this mood of anger against Krishna. She was speaking to the bumblebee as his servant, saying, "You're an unreliable servant of an unreliable master. I know you're Krishna. Actually, when he came as Lord Ramachandra, he killed Vali from behind a tree. What kind of person is he? And he said when he came as Vamanadev, he came into the assembly of Bali Maharaj, and he only asked for three paces of land. And then he took everything from him, and he tied him up and put him in a cave. We know you're Krishna. We know what he's like. And then the bee flew away. And then she got an anxiety that maybe the bee would go and tell Krishna everything that she said. So she said, please, oh, she was lamenting over and over again that please, will the bee come back so she could tell the bee. And Uddhava saw all this mood. He read the note, and in the note, Krishna was telling the gopis, fix your mind in mystic yoga upon me. And the gopis were complaining, fix our minds upon you. We can't get you out of our minds. The last thing we want to do is remember you. We want to forget you, Krishna. But we can't. We can't forget you, even though you've been so unkind to us. You've left us alone here. We want to forget you altogether, but we can't. Ashlishava pararatam pinashtumam adarshanam marma hatam karotava yatatatava vitatatulampatoma pranadatas tusa evanapara. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words in the Antyalila, speaking just like Radharani, that even though you're a lumpat, you're a no good playboy, you're running around with everybody, even though you're not faithful to me, but I can't give you up. This is the madness of the gopis, and this is exhibited by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. They were going everywhere in Vrindavan, searching for Krishna, calling for Krishna, pining for Krishna at every minute, and in that mood, singing out his names and remembering him everywhere they went. So this is the process of rag bhakti, actually. It's the rag marg, and this is what we're meant to come to, but through the process of hearing and chanting and association with devotees and our process of worship, this is when the energy comes. The energy comes, this natural energy of spontaneous attraction for Krishna arises within the heart. It's already there. Nitya siddha Krishna prema sadyukabunoi shravanadi shuta chitte kara udoy. It's there inherent within the heart. We just read today from the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 25th chapter and 38th verse. Prabhupada wrote in a purport this very wonderful verse. He says, thus the eternal propensity for love in all living entities is always searching for a place to reside. Thus the eternal propensity for love in all living entities is always searching for a place to reside. So that's what everyone's doing, that love. They're trying to find a place to repose that love where it will be reciprocated. But there is no place in this world. The rasa that we get here from, you know, having babies and having a boss, having a wife, having a child, all these rasas, they're chapala sukh. They're flickering happiness. Because one day they're there, and next day the relationship is broken. Or if you're really lucky, it's just horrible from the very beginning. And then you just suffer 24 hours a day. And all you can do is think of going back home, back to Godhead. Mostly in Kali Yuga, all these relationships are just broken and twisted and so many difficulties and everything. So, Kali dosha nidhedajan, asti hiko mahadguna, kirtanadeva krishnasya muktasanga paramvajet. There's one good quality in this ocean of faults, and that is that by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, you can actually grab onto Krishna through his holy name. He's come as the holy name, and you can actually get his association directly and revive that relationship. That's what the verse says. Shuddha chitte, that by purification of the heart, then naturally that emotion comes out to want to run after Krishna. And so, as I was saying, we're following the footsteps of the Goswamis. Tanama rupa chaditari sukirtananu smrityo kramena rasana manasi niyoja. That Rupa Goswami says, by this process that we're following, then that means organizing our life to hear and chant in the association of like-minded devotees, especially these five processes, which are hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amala Purana, by which Krishna is actually attracted to us when we're repeating it. By chanting Hare Krishna, because Krishna and his names are non-different in this process, especially of chanting Hare Krishna, it directly connects us to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By association with devotees, I was talking to Nitai Kripa Prabhu today over in London. I got a Skype call from him, and he was just saying how whenever he gets around devotees, whenever he has devotee association, which he has had rarely because he had to move to this horrible place where the to have this job, and he doesn't have much association. So he said, but whenever he does get association with devotees, then he said it's not an intellectual process. Within his heart, he feels you got to tell him to be quiet, because if you close the door, it's too hot. I think so. Just tell him we're having a service in here and ask him if they can tone it down. Otherwise, we're going to come out there and have a rumble. What was I saying? Nitai Kripa. He said that when he gets around devotees, then automatically within his heart, he remembers that the goal of life is devotional service, and he becomes enlivened. And he said it's not an intellectual process. Just by association with devotees, he feels naturally inclined to want to perform devotional service. It's a natural inclination of the soul. And when we have association with devotees, it comes out. And Prabhupada said that's the purpose of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is to give association to people all over the world through the Dadati Pratyagnati principle, through the loving exchanges. And when people get the association of devotees, when they have a little sukriti already in their heart, then naturally their attraction for association with devotees will arise. So that's the third. Then there's deity worship. Good work. There's deity worship through which we become personally attached to Krishna and his paraphernalia. All of those are a stimuli for waking up our love for Krishna. Like it's mentioned, the flute, just seeing Krishna's flute can wake up love for God within the heart. It just, you see it. And I mean, who else has a flute? You don't see many people walking around with a flute these days, right? Do you? At the office, anybody play a flute? The only person I've ever seen is Hanumat Prashek Swami that walks around with a flute, because he's probably a cowherd boy, but, as far as I can tell. But, you know, other than that, you don't see a lot of flutes. Even in the rock and roll world, there was only Jethro Tull, and nobody else played a flute. Everyone else played guitar. It's really rare. So Krishna's flute playing, that's a big deal. But in deity worship, you see all these things. You know, you get to touch his flute, you get to polish the flute. Then he has all kinds of other paraphernalia. I have a little buffalo horn that I have for my Giriraj someone gave me. It's a beautiful little golden buffalo horn. And whenever I see that, I mean, who else has a buffalo horn except for Krishna? And that's the nectar of devotion. Rupa Goswami said, this is a stimuli for love for Krishna. You see Krishna's buffalo horn. And all the other little things that Krishna has, you know, for the puja, you don't see it anywhere else. When I was in Hungary, I was just in Nuvrajadam, and I spent a few hours with the pujari, the head pujari there, just asking her all the standards and how they worship the deity, because it's really nice worship. And she invited Nirkula and I to come on the altar the next morning. I did the Mangal Artik, and then, you know, she showed us all the offerings they were making and stuff. They offer, for Mangal Artik, they offer about 40 sweets. Not 40 different kinds, but there's about five kinds, but they put about, you know, there's about 20 or 30 pieces of sandesh every morning on the plate. And then, you know, all that is done in a very sanctified atmosphere. The pujari room is kept spotlessly clean. It's the sanctum sanctorum. You know, it's the most sacred of all sacred places when you go in, where Krishna's things are kept. Everything's clean and nice and cleaned over and over again and polished. This is deity worship, means cleanliness. And when that's there, then the mind becomes peaceful, and then you can contemplate, you know, what am I doing here? And you see, these are all Krishna's things, and everyone's moving around only for serving Krishna, for satisfying him, and there's a great satisfaction that comes in the heart. So deity worship is in number four. And then living in a holy place, like Vrindavan, Mathura, just naturally when you live there, you'll rub elbows with the residents there who are running to Mangal Artik. They'll bowl you over. In fact, I've mentioned this before, but one of the great experiences of life is going to Jayapur, which is really just an extension of Vrindavan. And in Jayapur, you go to Mangal Artik, see Radha Govinda. Mangal Artik, Jayapur, walking in, 2,000-3,000 people must come in that assembly in the morning for Mangal Artik. And you know, all of them rushing in at the same time to get to Mangalartik. It's an open-air place. And when they bring the lamp, the Pujari offers the lamp, and then he turns around, and they don't hand it like we do, person to person, but he just holds it out. And from afar, everyone reaches for the lamp. And the crowd, it's not for the faint of heart, because when you're in that crowd and everyone moves, you can be crushed by that. You know, you just feel like I'm helpless. Anything can happen. I can be broken into pieces, you know, from the force of all these people reaching. But if you look at them, they don't care. They just want the lamp. And in that instant, when you're touching all those people and you're being crushed by the enthusiasm to touch the lamp, there's an electricity, a spiritual electricity that goes through your body, which is a spontaneous attraction for Krishna's paraphernalia and to touch his lamp and all these kinds of things. And that's what happens when you're in a holy place. You get association with great devotees, and then especially you can hear them speak. And these are five very important things, which keeping contact with these five, they can actually awaken that natural, spontaneous love that we have within the heart. And as Prabhupada said, when that energy comes, then it's natural. So we go from sadhana bhakti or bhakti yoga and practice, and then we come to spontaneous. It becomes a spontaneous. We become naturally inclined to want to do these things, naturally inclined to want to address the deities, naturally inclined to want to do other services like cook and go on sankirtan. It becomes our preoccupation. And then the topmost position is love of God or prema bhakti. And all those things happen at a progressive stage by practicing the process, which is given to us by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. We are Rupanugas, Prabhupada said. We are, Anuga means a follower. So we're followers of Rupa Goswami. That's what it is. We follow Rupa Goswami, and we follow his instructions. And Prabhupada was a Rupanuga. He was a Rupanuga devotee, follower of Rupa Goswami. And so we can find what Rupa Goswami's instructions are in the nectar of devotion. And Prabhupada's given us that, the nectar of devotion. So, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Panchatriki Vidimbina Aikantiki Harir Bhakti Rupaita Yaiva Kalpate. The kind of devotional service we're practicing is, it is spontaneous, but it's highly regulated in another way. There is Shastra that explains why we're doing everything and how to do everything properly, the way to do this. And this is all coming from Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami. And those who follow in their footsteps by reading their literature through our parampara system, as Prabhupada's given in the Nectar of Instruction and the Nectar of Devotion and the other books that we have, and following the process that we have, are eligible to come up to this position of spontaneous love for Krishna, as is exhibited by the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. Yeah.
Regarding five things that are most effective for devotional service, one of them you mentioned was reading Srimad Bhagavatam. Does it literally mean reading Srimad Bhagavatam scripture only? Does it mean reading anything that is connected to God? I mean, in the sense, Bhagavatam means anything that is connected to God.
No, it means reading Srimad Bhagavatam.
Just the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Pramanam Amalam. It's the spotless praman. Everything we measure around the Srimad Bhagavatam. In other words, like if we read other scriptures in our Gaudiya system, Mahabharata, anything else, the way you check and make sure that it's actually accurate, hasn't been transposed or anything lost, is you check it with Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam. This was the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Vrindavan and Krishna are non-different. The highest method of worshipping the Lord is that which was conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan, and that Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme evidence. It's the supreme of all scriptures. And that the highest goal of life is to attain prema. This is the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's not, of course, that we... I think so. Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavidu. No, it starts out Arajo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayast. Arajo. Arajo Bhagavan. But it doesn't mean that other shastras, that there are other, you know, like Bhagavad Gita also is in the same vein. But we specifically revere Srimad Bhagavatam. Example, you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, in the fifth chapter, first canto of the Bhagavatam, and Veda Vyas, who is he?
Incarnation of the Supreme Lord.
He became morose. Have you ever become morose?
Always.
Well, even the incarnation of God becomes morose. Why? Because, you know, this is a tricky process. Why? Because Krishna is tricky. You know, it's hard to find him. He's supremely independent. It's not like you can say, like, here he is, we've got him, here's the system, build a church, next thing you know, he's not there. Where'd he go? He's over there. You know, you got to keep looking for him. Wherever you go, he's somewhere else. But this Vyasadeva, he had been compiling all these Vedic literature and the Puranas, not satisfied, morose. So he came to his spiritual master to ask, what is the reason that I'm not feeling blissful? You know, I don't feel right. So his spiritual master, Narada Muni, told him, well, you're fully qualified in every other way. Let's examine, see what happened here. And he said that anything that you desire to describe, which is different in vision from the Lord, simply reacts on the mind like a boat, which is pushed on the water by the wind, and it doesn't have a rudder, it just goes everywhere. So he said, what you need to do is describe the spotless pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then, of course, Vyasadeva went into his samadhi, the samadhi of Vyas. And that's when the Srimad Bhagavatam came out. So after someone's been in samadhi and they come out and they start talking, just like, you know, if you wake somebody up, like we do when we go door to door, and they come to the door all like this in their pajamas, this is called Nidra Bhashya. And when Vyasadeva came out of his trance, it's called Samadhi Bhashya. It's what you speak when you come out of samadhi, and that's something. Because he had a vision of the spiritual world and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and then he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the Amala Purana, spotless Purana, and that specifically is very powerful. Hansapriya has had her hand up for 10 minutes. Yeah? Make sure that's on, because they're listening in Sacramento.
The one you taught us, the Nimnaganatha Thaganga. Yeah.
Please recite.
Nimnaganatha Thaganga, Devanam Yachito Yatha, Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu, Puranam Idam Tatha.
Bravo, give her a hand. And the translation. Of all rivers.
Of all the rivers, the Ganga is the...
It's the best.
The best. Among all the gods, Achyuta Krishna is the best. And among all the devatas,
Vaishnavas,
Shiva is the best. And among all the Puranas, the Srimad Bhagavatam. It says this Purana, so in Srimad Bhagavatam is the best.
There you have it. Proved by Praman. And we got more coming in now. You got something for us? No? What else?
Can I say something?
Yes? Ramananda Sakha's got more. That's from it's in your book too also. Nimnagana Yata Ganga. Devanam Achyuto Yata. It's from the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, 12th canto, and it says what it says.
Just I'm trying to say my thought here. Comparing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita deals with Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and other systems of yoga, but whereas the Srimad Bhagavatam deals with only pure devotion. Is that a correct statement?
It falls short. That statement falls short. The Bhagavad Gita doesn't just deal with karma yoga and jnana yoga, but it also, for those who have eyes, it actually deals with bhakti. Well, obviously it deals with bhakti yoga.
Yeah, but that is in addition to that.
But the feeling for those like A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who brought out the Bhagavad Gita, within that also is the feeling of pure devotion. And those who are in that line and read Bhagavad Gita can also appreciate it like that. There's a story about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveling in South India. And as he was traveling in South India, he met a devotee in Sri Rangam, I believe it was, who was illiterate. And that means probably that he didn't know Sanskrit very well. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met him, he saw that people were ridiculing him, and the man was reading Bhagavad Gita and aloud, but he really couldn't pronounce it. He couldn't say anything correctly, but he was going through the whole Gita, and he was weeping. And Mahaprabhu came over to find out what the situation was, and all the people were laughing at him because of his incompetency. And Mahaprabhu asked him, "Why are you crying? You're reading Bhagavad Gita, you're crying. Why are you crying?" And he said, "Every time as I'm reading this Bhagavad Gita, even though I can't read it, my spiritual master told me to read it every day, that I think of how kind Krishna is, that he drove the chariot for his devotee. And when I think of that, how soft and kind Krishna is towards his devotees, then I cry. I can't contain myself." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed that devotee. He said, "You've actually understood Bhagavad Gita. You know the real import of Bhagavad Gita. That sweetness is there." And that illiterate Brahmin came with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for several days. They were inseparable. So Bhagavad Gita, for those who are in the proper line and are hearing from the right source, it of course it doesn't go into the detail that the Srimad Bhagavatam does, but that hint of the highest level of devotional service is also there within it. It's not just karma yoga.
I'm just going to quote one more verse supporting that. And in the purport of 10th chapter, where in the Chaturshloki Gita, where the verse is on Tushyanti Kathyantas Chamam Nityam Tushyanti Charamanticha. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains that Bhagavatam is the only scripture in which Lord Krishna and his devotees are fully described, completely described, and that's why the devotees really like reading the Bhagavatam.
Bravo. Well done. Thank you. So in 10.9, Machita Makata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Kathyantas Chamam Nitya Tushyanti Charamanticha. We have the statement from Srila Prabhupada about the unique position of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Sorry, so where I'm trying to get is regarding the, you know, the five things Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned. Does reading Bhagavad Gita also can be put under the category of reading Srimad Bhagavatam, or it can be put under that category, or? Reading Srimad Bhagavad Gita in some way inferior to reading Srimad Bhagavatam?
So if you get stranded on a desert island and there's no other book but Bhagavad Gita, you'll probably be okay. But you should read Srimad Bhagavatam every day. Nityam Bhagavata Seveya. This is our prime focus, is hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But never give up Bhagavad Gita also, because it's foundational. What's in Bhagavad Gita, the devotees who are advancing in devotional service, actually, the more they advance, the more they appreciate verses like Dehino Sminyata Dehe Komaran Yovanam Jara. It's not that those become old or hackneyed or insignificant, or that they think, oh, that's some lower thing. But actually, an advanced devotee sees in those things deep meaning and appreciates very deeply. Anyway, it's all hypothetical what you're saying, because you have the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have the Bhagavad Gita and the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you should take them all. It's like a meal. If you have rice and dal, they're both good foods. So you have a superfood when you mix them together. Let's get confirmation from our professor. Okay, rice, dal, both good foods. When you mix them together, you get a super protein, right?
All the essential amino acids.
So when you read Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhagavatam, you're getting the full meal. Prabhupada gave us a feast that you never come to the end of studying these books. This better be good.
Sorry, I'm asking too many questions here.
Not at all.
Because this question came to me before also regarding this Brahmin who was reading the Bhagavad Gita and crying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As per his spiritual master's order. The question that came to me even before was that if his spiritual master gave him instruction to read Bhagavad Gita, why didn't he just go and learn how to read? Or why is he just reading without learning?
He may have been. I don't know. But that's not mentioned in the story. Maybe that's what he was doing.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Yes.
The difference between the Bhagavatam and the other Gita and other Vedas, I was reading this first canto, fifth chapter, and it's mentioning that, like you mentioned that, the Narad Muni, and the discussion between the Narad Muni and the Vyasadeva. One of the things that I didn't know that before, the Bhagavatam is the other knowledge, it's all transcendental knowledge and it is all great. But Bhagavatam is directly we are hearing and feeling and experiencing direct approach from the Lord Bhagavan itself. Is that the right statement?
Well, yes. In the Bhagavatam, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishi Nishaya Shaya Lokasya Dhamnam Swastayanam Mahat. It's described in the Bhagavatam itself how this is a direct incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, that's true about the Bhagavad Gita also. By hearing Bhagavad Gita, really there's no difference. Ultimately, in the absolute platform, there's no difference between these two.
But I'm wondering why Vyasa Mahadev is not happy to all the work he did. Then he have to go through another transcendental work.
Yeah, so because itam bhuto gano hari, there's something special in the Bhagavatam. Because they say it's the exact same quality as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's his incarnation, and it's got his quality exactly.
It's almost like Gita describes Krishna at work, and Bhagavatam describes Krishna at work and at play. There's a little bit of work in the Bhagavatam also when it talks about creation and all, but it's more fun. It seems to be more fun somehow to read Bhagavatam.
Yeah, Krishna's always playing. And his sporting pastimes, his sportive pastimes come out in the Bhagavatam. He's fully revealed the nature of the relationships between all of his devotees fully comes out in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the 10th canto. But, you know, we need Bhagavad Gita, and we don't distinguish, you know, therefore I'll just read Bhagavatam. But we need to read Bhagavad Gita and understand Dehi no smin yata dehe. There's the Dehi and the Dehi, just like there's the Griha and the Grihi. You have a Griha, but you are the Grihi. Your Griha is the house, and the Grihi is the person who lives in the house. So there's the Deha and the Dehi. So we have a Deha, just like we have a Griha, and we're the Dehi, or the person who lives inside the body. And unless we understand that, then there's great possibility for misunderstanding the sportive pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, one must approach through the categories, going through Bhagavad Gita, and the first 9 cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam explain how the modes of material nature work and all the disappointments of the material world and how everything's dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then when one's the field of one's heart is prepared, then one can, the Shraddha, one's faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, entering into that, Vikriditam Vrajavadubir Hamcha Vishnu Shraddhanvito Nashunu Yad Atuvarna Yedya. Then Bhagavatam says, Shukadeva Goswami says, just by hearing those sportive pastimes of Krishna with the cowherd damsels in Vrindavan, Vikriditam Vrajavudu Vir Ahamcha Vishnu Shraddhanvito Nashunu Yad Anuvarna Yedya Bhaktim Param Bhagavate Pratilabhya Kama Ridrogam Ashva Pahino Acharena Dhira. Then very quickly, then the what's the, called Hridrogam, or the disease of the heart, which is attachment to the material world, and the desire, the long-cherished desire to enjoy matter, it becomes destroyed. Bidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarvasamshaya shiyante chasya karmani trishtayiva manishraya. The knot in the heart is cut by hearing that description of the personality of Godhead. Very powerful. Any other things? Okay. Yes, Rakshi Prabhu.
That Sri Krishna appeared on the planet 5,000.
Yes.
He was.
Yes.
So he had then...
He's still living. He's in the Himalayas.
He had then direct contact with Sri Krishna, or was...
Yes. Yes.
So in that case, because often people say that who wrote the Bhagavad Gita and was the person present when Krishna was there. And it is said that Vyasadeva... recorded it, so he was right there at the time Sri Krishna
was. Well, he didn't have to be right anywhere, because it's a spiritual process anyway. Even how the Bhagavad Gita was transmitted from to the heart of Sanjaya was arranged by his spiritual master, Srila Vyasadeva, so that he could have that access. He wasn't on the battlefield, Sanjaya, and he's speaking to Dhritarashtra, and he's seeing everything through television. We can really understand that nowadays, because... You know, how do you get a text message? Do you know? You know how it works? Do you know how it works? I'm not going to ask you. Do you know how it works? Nobody knows. You know how it works. How do you get a text message? Better use the microphone. Actually, I didn't even want to know. But it's mystical. I mean, you're sitting in one place and all of a sudden you push a button here. And Hansapriya is sitting on the other side of the city, and then boom.
It's translated into, it's transformed into electrical waves. And then those electrical waves can travel a lot of distance. And
end up on somebody's little iPhone somewhere,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, then it is again translated into...
That's a miracle.
Yeah.
But it's a miracle of technology. So similarly, this technology...
Same.
It's there also when Sanjaya receives this, so one doesn't have to be personally present. This, you know, the spiritual science and the knowledge is passed on. It's not like some, you had to be sitting there personally.